Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial clothes there and the cloth that had covered his head, but not with the burial cloths rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. The Gospel of the Lord.
On this second day of the octave of our celebration of the birth of the Lord of Christmas, we are very much like the characters in the stable. We have the angels and the shepherds and the Blessed Mother looking at the child in marvel and in awe. We are also invited to enter the stable and to contemplate the child, and perhaps to ask ourselves the question, what child is this? What is the meaning of this child? And the church in her liturgy, in the octave of Christmas, presents us with teachers to guide us in answering that question. Yesterday we had Stephen reminding us that the meaning of this child is to give our lives, carry our cross, and give our lives for him, and to love and forgive even our persecutors. Today, we have John the Evangelist, whose feast day we celebrate today. Of course, John is special to me because our seminary is named in his honor, St. John Seminary in Camarillo. Well, today, St. John is our teacher to unpack for us the meaning of child's birth. And for that, the church gave us this passage taken from one of the readings for Easter. You know, what's the meaning of that, and what is the church trying to underline for us? Well, the church has always looked at and had seen the tomb of Christ and Christ coming forth from that tomb as a second birth of Christ. Remember, Christ came from a virgin's womb. He came from a virgin's womb, and that cave where the Lord was entered was like a virgin womb as well. Remember what the evangelist said about that tomb. No one has lain in that tomb. That tomb was never used. Now, remember, in Israel, in ancient Israel, those of you who had been there, you know, the tombs there are used and reused. You know, they put the bodies there, and when the bodies decompose, they collect the bones and put the bones in an ossuary and put it back there in that cave. And so every tomb is used and reused. Now, not the tomb of Jesus, according to the gospel writers. No one has used it. And so they put Jesus there. And like what happened in his birth, well, he came out of that womb of a cave, of a tomb. Now, how did Jesus came out of that tomb? Our patriarchs, our fathers, and the Council of Trent gave us an explanation. He said, Jesus came out of the tomb Just like how he entered that upper room in the night of his resurrection. You know how the apostles were inside the upper room and the door was locked? And he just entered, even with the doors locked. The same thing happened, according to the Council of Trent, the same thing happened with Jesus in his resurrection. He came out of the that tomb just like that. What about the detail of the roll of the rock being rolled away, the stone being rolled away from the entrance? It is not for Jesus. It is for the women. It is for Mary Magdalene to enter. It is for John and for Peter to enter. Not for Jesus, because Jesus in his glorified body can go through walls. Now, it is like the birth of the Lord, according to the Council of Trent, according to the fathers, because in very much the same way, they said, Mary did not experience any pain or labor pains in the delivery of the child Jesus. Remember, labor pain is connected to original sin. That was the Lord said. He said, when Eve sinned, he said, you will deliver in pain, but your desire will always be for your husband. So it's a curse. It's a consequence of original sin. But Mary has no original sin. And so she did not labor according to the Council of Trent. What happened? He said, well, the Lord passed through her in a mysterious way, kind of like how the light passes through a glass pane. It's something similar to that. How that occurred, that's the mystery of the faith. But suffice it to say, that's how Jesus came out into the world. So what is being underlined today? Well, God, it seems, appreciates purity, virginity. John was a virgin. The Blessed Mother was a virgin. She was a virgin before, during, and after. God dwells in the pure of heart. And to those who are pure of heart, they're able to see the mystery of God plainly, very much like the Virgin John when he entered and saw the burial cloths rolled away. He believed. He believed the mystery that is before him. On the other hand, Mary Magdalene, when she saw what happened, Mary Magdalene thought that they stole the body away. But not John. John, who is a virgin, John, who is pure, is able to see the mystery in the light of the grace that's been given to him. Very much like the Blessed Mother, who understood, who embraced the mystery in silence and says, I am the servant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your will. What is this for us? For us who are celebrating Christmas all through this season, we too are invited to virginity. Not necessarily, perhaps, the virginity of a celibate life, just like John and the Blessed Mother. Maybe not that. But the church also defines virginity as single-mindedness, to be single-minded for the Lord. Not to be serving two masters, you know, the world and God. No. To be a virgin is to be single-minded, to have our focus on God and our focus only on following Him in truth and in spirit. Those who are pure of heart will see God. That invitation must be an inspiration for all of us. Because as we strip ourselves of the many divisions of our heart, as we focus on the Lord, more and more shall we see the Lord walking amongst us. More and more shall we see the hand of God in the unfolding of our everyday, ordinary life. We want to ask God, where are you, Lord, in all of these? The answer to that is our pursuit of the purity of our heart, a pursuit of virginity, because the Lord said in one of his sermons, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God.